Okay, so we're going to do a little bit about Sugyan Gittin on Daf, I guess, Lamed Chas. Okay, 38. And I guess there's different parts of the Sugya, but I guess we'll start Tana Rabbanan, Lamed Chas on the base, I guess at the 10th line or so. But first, just a little bit of background. So we're talking about an Eved Kenani. Okay? An Eved Kenani is a guy who starts out as a guy, as a non-Jew, and you buy him. Okay? Some sort of, whether you capture them or whatever it is, somehow he's for sale and you buy him. So the halacha is, he becomes your Eved, and he becomes obligated, and he has 12 months to basically give up Avodah Zarah. And, it's the two dots, 10th line or so.
12 months from the time you buy him?
I think so. And then he has to accept the mitzvahs. He does mila and tevila, and he's chayav in mitzvahs like a woman. Okay, we said mitzvah in drama. Okay, so he basically becomes like a kind of a Jew. He's chayav mitzvahs. I mean, he's doing all the mitzvahs except for, you know, like women. All the mitzvahs that women do. Right? On all those, I say. So what's that? Is that you buy a guy. He's a servant. So he's your servant, but he's chayav mitzvahs like a woman. Okay? I think he may be chayav right away. But he has to, if after 12 months he doesn't give up, he won't give up Zara, then you have to get rid of him and sell him back to the guy or something. Okay?
Why is he
chayav
like a woman?
Why not like a regular
person?
Why not like a man? It could be, I mean, it's a good question why women aren't obligated as man grandma, but let's say they'll say something like their time isn't their own, they can't really be bound by a time-bound mitzvah, so they say an Eved is the same thing. He's a servant, so he's, something like that. Because he has to work, he can't, his identity is he's a servant, he's not a free guy, so
he doesn't have time.
Yeah, right, he doesn't have time. You know, it's like a simple shot, you know. Okay, so the halacha though is that, but if he does go free for whatever reason, he becomes like regular Joe. Okay, regular Joe.
So excited?
Yeah.
But even if he has not given up Avodah Zarah?
Oh no, I don't know. He's basically he shouldn't be an Eved. Well, if he doesn't go to Zara, we're talking about a regular guy who becomes, he goes to Zara. I mean, I don't know about that. Then he basically shouldn't be
free.
Yeah, he doesn't really. I don't think he. I'm not sure. I don't know how long it's about that. Okay.
So this is the case where he has given up a vote as Zara.
He's a real regular Eved Kanani, right? He's a regular Eved Kanani. You're Eved working with you. If for whatever reason he goes free, like if you hit him and you knock off one of his limbs, so then he goes free. So he's free. Or if you free him. And he becomes free. And he's chayav mitzvahs like a regular guy. He's a regular Jew. In fact, that was the story. We'll get to this, but I think Rabbi Eliezer, and his servant Tevi. He goes Tevi. And he basically had the servant who was a good guy, and he needed a minion, and he freed him to make a minion. Because an Eved doesn't count for a minion. Because he's an Eved, he lacks in his kedushas Yisrael. But when you free him, maybe he's a regular Jew. So then he counted for a minion. Okay, so when you free him, he becomes like a regular guy. Okay, regular Jewish guy. Okay? But, the question is, the halacha is, and this is what we're going to get to, you're not allowed to free him. Okay, there's an Isra say. Pasuk says, La'olam bohem ta'avodu. Okay, they should work, they should serve you forever. Okay, which means you're not allowed to free them. Okay, it should be forever. Okay, we'll get to this. I mean, it's a discussion, but this is essentially what the thing's about. Okay, it's an Isra Asay. It's an Asay. It's a Mitzvah Asay for them to serve you forever. Unless you knock out one of their eyes or whatever, then you have to free them. Okay, and I can knock out one of their limbs. But otherwise, you have to keep them forever. You can't just free them. But, there's just a preview of what's to come. If it's for a mitzvah, you could. Like many. You're allowed to do it if it's for a mitzvah. And that's really what the main thing I'm coming here for is, like, why are you allowed to do it for a mitzvah? I mean, a mitzvah, even a mitzvah d'rabbanan, like they say getting a minion is a mitzvah d'rabbanan. even though it was a mitzvah like that, you're allowed to seemingly violate the Isra Asay and Isra Deraisa to free the guy. Why are you allowed to do that? Right? So there's so that's essentially the major problem. And many Rishonim struggle with this problem. And they all have different answers. And there are many different answers in the Rishonim for this question. How could it be that you're allowed to do this thing, even for an Asay Darabanan? How could you violate a Deraisa? And free him. Okay? And that's basically where we're headed. To try to figure out some of these different answers, different Rishonim's take on this, you know? But it's a hard problem. I mean, you see the kind of answers they have to give. It's a hard problem. Okay. So, let's get started. So, let me show you the psukim a little bit. So, these psukim, it says, this is in Vayikra Chafei Mendalit. Lach, this is a servant that you have made, Sagoyim Hashesh Yosechem, from the Goyim that are around you. Mehem Tiknu Evan Vama, so from them you could buy a servant. Begamne Hatoshav, my Goyim Achem. Also from the Ger Toshavs. They say, guys are in Kabbal 7 and Noach and live amongst you. Called the Ger Toshav. Mehem Tiknu, you could buy from them. We use Rachel Mashem Achem. And from their families, Shahilu Bartzachem, they were born in your land. Vahayulachem Achuza. And they will be for you as like an inheritance. You should inherit them, bequeath them to your children after you, to be like a part of your inheritance, part of your Yerusha, your estate. They should serve you forever. And you should not work your brethren, your Jewish people. Okay? In other words, the Chinuch explains this. I don't know if there's only way to read it, but it's an interesting way to read it. It says, like, you should serve them forever because you're going to need servants at some point, okay, for whatever reason. And better than getting your Jews to serve you, so then there's an institution of Eved Ivri, so which is a Jewish servant, he's mamish a real Jew. So rather, it's better to have these guys serve you, be your servants. Okay, so it's saying that's why at the end it says they should serve you forever and don't use your brothers to serve you. So even though there's an institution of Eved Ivri, better that these guys serve you than them, so therefore you're not allowed to just free them, because then you may need a different guy and you end up taking an Eved Ivri. Something like that. But whatever the case is, I mean, the point is what Basic's saying is that they're part of your estate and you inherit them to your kids and they get them. I mean, the simplest idea of why he has to keep mitzvahs, I mean, I'm not sure exactly, but the idea is like, it's not, one thing is that you can't do avodah zarah, is like, you can't be a stumbling block to you. Is that it's not good to have a guy who's like living with you under your thing, who's basically living a corrupt life, totally corrupt life. It's not good for our Jews to have guy under them who are that type of person. It's bad to be associated with that person in your household, I mean, living in your house. So that's not, I mean, you know, we have them, but, you know, like, live-ins or whatever, but like, it could be harmful to Jews. And it's not just servants. Another facet of it is that taking a slave is not just it's not a cruel institution. On the contrary, it's in a certain sense a beneficial institution for the guy. Because the guy really, he becomes a servant, it's true, but he benefits. You're bringing him under the Taz Kanfei Shechina in a certain sense. You're bettering him in his life by giving him an opportunity to be part of partake in the Jewish people. So insofar as he's living amongst us, he's in our homes, he joins up with our mission in a certain sense. So it's not just like a guy who you just take into your house and beat him up and whatever, but there's an idea as you share with him what our heritage. But I mean, that's sort of throwing some things out. I mean, exactly why the Torah, you know, it's hard to know. It's hard to know exactly why the Torah didn't leave him as a guy, but yeah. Okay. So now let's do the following. Let's just do a very basic question, which is almost like a precursor to what we're really going to get into, which is the very question whether or not you could free him or can't free him. Okay. So the Gemara says, it's again Lamed Chas Amud Beis, 10th line or so. Tanu Rabban, 2 dots. It's a very simple machalikas. La'olam b'hem tavodu, as the pasuk says, they should serve you forever. Rishos. It's a rishos. They could serve you forever. Devar Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Akiva, Omer Chova. He says, no, no, no. It's a Chova. They're obligated to serve you forever. Rashi. Doesn't mean Rishos. It's funny, Rishos. It says, Mishum Dechsev, this is the fourth line, Rashi. Mishum Dechsev, Vishiva Umos, Lo Sachai Kal Neshama. So this is by the Shiva Umos, that when you go into Eretz Yisrael and you find the seven nations of the Canaanim, so you have to kill them all. You can't take them as slaves. you have to kill them. They're idolaters and whatever, you have to kill them. Can't let anyone live. It's Zerich L'michtam Ibnei HaToshavim, but the people, the sons of the people who are living there, these other people of say Ger Toshav or whatever, Olamam Tavodu, Lahat Yer Echon Mishar Umos of all Kananis, Shei Mishav Umos. So it's allowing you, permitting you, someone from one of the other Umos, a man from one of the other, not one of these seven nations, but a man, some other Gaish man, who sleeps with a woman from one of these seven nations. A Canaanite is one of these seven nations. Shem Yishev Umos. Beholded Ben, and has a kid. Right? So now the kid's mother is really from one of these nations, who you have to kill everybody. She'ata Roshoy L'Knoso Ve'evet Evri. Ve'evet. You're allowed to buy him. And Olamam Tavodu. You can work for him forever. There's no halacha that you have to kill him. But Olamam Tavodu. You could take him as a servant. And you have a right to keep him alive. So it's just saying L'olam Tavodu means you could be your servant forever. It's not saying that he has to be your servant forever. If you want, you could free him. Doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that you have to. It means you could. Whereas the other position says, no, L'olam Tavodu means it's chova. You're obligated. Obligated to serve you forever. I mean, the Rambam Paskins, the Rambam has one of the mitzvahs, it's in the Koseres I'm reading from, one of the mitzvahs I say, in Hilchos Avodin, it says, La'avod be'eved kinani la'olam. Ela imkin hipilo adonav echad mirosh evarav. To work an eved kinani forever. Unless the master knocks out one of his limbs. Okay? Fine. This is an eved kinani, by the way. An eved ivri is a Jew, mamish, a regular Jew, who needs money that he steals and he can't pay back or whatever. He could sell himself as an eved ivri, and he's an eved just for till 7 years, 6 years, 7 years, and then he goes free after. Because it's 6 years, the end of the 6 years, and or at Yovel. Okay, that's a short term deal. That's basically he's like a worker, but and he has a right. He can marry a shifcha. He can marry his master, can give him over to Shifcha to have kids, to a woman servant. Okay, but essentially that's regular Jews. Chayav Mitzvah is like a Jew. He's 100%. He's just a regular Jew. So Eved Kenani means like a guy who becomes an Eved, and he is Chayav Mitzvah is like a woman. Okay, so where's the Rambam here on this mitzvah? It's Halacha Perek Tes Halacha Vav. He says, we're jumping in the middle, but he says, "V'chein also l'adam l'shachrer eved kanani." You're not allowed to free your eved kanani. V'chol ha'mashachrero, anyone who does over ba'asei, he violates asei. Shnei lo'olamam tavodu, should serve the work them forever. V'mashachrero mashachar, but if you do, it works. If he does become free, he's not allowed to. Okay. He has to write a get shechor. Just like if you divorce one of you, write a get. So there's a similar as a get shechor, which is the document which makes him, frees him. Yeah? Which it's a halachic star, which gives him his freedom. You're allowed to free him for the mitzvah. Filo mitzvah shall devrahim, kigon shalay yishon asar basic nesa, sam is a shechor av the mashem aminion. Even for the Rabbana, like you need a minion, you can do it. V'chein kol kiyotzer b'zeh. V'chein shivcha she'em nogim b'minag hefker. V'chein michshol l'chatoim. So also you have a shivcha, who's like a guy, like a female, one of these. So if she's a michshol, people are sleeping with her. They're treating her like hefker. So she's a stumbling block. Kof minis rabba m'shachra. Then you could force the master to free her. Kadesh tinase, so she'll get married and then she'll have a husband who will, protect her. She won't be a stumbling block anymore. So if it's for Dvar Mitzvah or that kind of thing, then you're allowed to. But otherwise, you're not allowed. Okay, fine. So let's try to find the question. I mean, as much as we could, is it a reshus or is it a mitzvah? Like the case, it's not only talking about it from the Shevumos where the father is, it's talking about just a different case of Rabbi Kanani. But in all of them, it says Olamam Tavodu. But he's going to say it always means it's a reshus that you could start working forever. Just saying, why did he have to say that? If we already so the thing isn't this chiddush and saying it because of this case of the father, the mother is from Kanani. But the point is, he learns in general Olamam Tavodu is just a reshus. Could be, it's possible that it's saying, I'm not sure, but just thought of this, that Olam Tavodu means that we know you don't have to kill him, because as I said, you don't have to kill him. He's not, I guess you go by the father or whatever. But it's just saying is, you may think that you can't take him as a slave. It's true, you don't have to kill him, but still, he's associated with the Shevumos, maybe he's like a milligram. You can't bring him into your house. So it's saying is, no, Olam Tavodu, the guy is... It's not just pshat that he kind of is part of the Shevumos, so you just don't have to kill him, but he's still kind of, you can't take him to your house. No, he's taking you to Olam Tavodu, it's allowing you even to enslave him. He's basically not Shevumos. You go by the father isn't Shevumos, and Olam Tavodu, you have a right to enslave him. It sounds like Rashi's saying, Rashi's not saying it's teaching you that you're allowed to keep him alive, but he's saying it's teaching you that you're allowed to enslave him. So it could be you'd think is that he still is associated with Shevumos, he can't be in your house, he can't be So you know, Lolan Tavodu, you have a right to take him forever. It's here, difficult here is like it's a little bit of a yes-no question, Like, is it also a free slave, or is it not also a free slave? Right, and we don't even know exactly why it's also a free slave. It's like, so what exactly are we doing here? Right, it's like a kind of funny mahogas. Like, I don't say it's a teaching is also for your slave, I don't say no. It's telling you something totally different. And it's a matter for your slave. If you want, you can make them work forever. If you want, you can free them. So it's like, I don't know, something funny about the whole question. Like, what could we say here? I mean, could we say anything? That's my question. Could we say, we don't know much about anything yet. We're just getting started here, but could we say just a little bit? Go just a tiny bit more than you guys are saying, but. So I think that if you study Avadim, Hilchos Avadim, a little bit, okay, which you probably haven't done, but I think if you think about it, you may notice this also. It's like an Eved, the status of an Eved exists in two spheres in a certain sense. He's like, on the one hand, he's property. He's property. He's like it's in Kenyan, like Matt said, he's in Sefer Kenyan. It's just another thing that you own. You own a car, you own an Eved. Okay, but he is a person, and he comes under like a framework of Isser v'Heter, and mitzvos as well. He is a chal shem eved, gavra is a chal shem eved, and he, as such, he's obligated in certain mitzvos. He can marry certain people. He's there's the Isser v'Heter reality of an eved. Okay, like you own him. But he also has a chal hashem. A gavra has a status of an eved, which creates certain halachos, mitzvos, and isurim on him. Okay? Right. It's in a similar manner you have by a woman when you do a kinyan. It's like, I'm not sure if it's exactly similar, but it's reminiscent of there's a kinyan, like a kiddushin, but she has a chal hashem of an esh hazesh. There it's not really a monetary thing. And I think there really it may just be a chal hashem, a status. Like here, you really have an ownership over him. He's like he's a slave, his property. But at the same time, he has the gavra is a different gavra. He has a chal hashem eved. Like you don't say that my book that I own has a chal hashem my book, mine or whatever. But because a book is a book, the chafta is the same chafta whether you own it or not. Now ownership is a relationship that you have to it. But its identity doesn't change on owned book or after book. A book is a book. It's just I relate to it. I have a functional relationship to it. But in an Eved, he acquires a Chal Hashem of an Eved. And Torah treats that Chal Hashem in a certain manner. And in fact, I think the phenomenon of a get is to break the Chal Hashem Eved. The get Shechor breaks the Chal Hashem Eved. Okay, like for instance, like I just saw Gemara is interesting. It's on the next daf. But it says you have a guy, let's say you have an Eved, who the guy, owner of an Eved is dying, and he leaves his last will and testament that he doesn't want his family to work as Eved. Okay, they don't want him to work him. They're not allowed to do any work. So the halacha is mitzvah l'kayim divrei mei. So you have to listen to the thing. So you're not allowed to work him. So basically, in terms of mamonos, I mean, he's not really a slave. What good is this? I mean, in terms of dinim mamonos, what's a slave that you can't work? What does that even mean? Right? But it says still, you have to write a get shechor. Because even though in terms of dinim mamonos, there's no reality to his eved, the whole right to eved means a guy who could work. He says in terms of Isra Heter, he still has a chal shame eved. The gavra has a shame eved. And the get shechor, you have to give him a get that removes the shame eved. You know what I mean? So it's like, there's the status of an Eved which inheres in the person, which in a certain sense exists apart from the dinim amonos of the Eved. So even though in dinim amonos there's no reality to the thing, you'd say like disintegrate. Like it's almost like you can't own something which is asurana. There's no ownership of something which is asurana because I can't use it. There's nothing that doesn't do anything. I mean, there's no idea. Like on the Pesach, that's the whole thing. It's like, how do you own chametz on Pesach? Because it doesn't. Ownership means I have rights on the thing. I have some sort of relationship to it in terms of mamonos. I have no mamonos relationship to it. So you say, do you really own the guy? Not really, but he does have a status. The gavra has a chaloshem eved, shell, whatever. So now they have to remove that chaloshem. So the way they do it is through a gashachar. So the point is that, and I think if you go through different sugyas, whenever you're discussing avodim, you have to look at it under both lights. You have to look at one hand into the din kinyan and his din as property, the mamonous aspects of avodim, and then you have the other aspect of avod is it's a chal hashem in terms of esavatar, is a status, which is different halachos apply to him, mitzvos, yisurim, right? So based on his status as an avod, so maybe the Torah says la'olam ba'am tavodu, you work him forever, okay? You work him forever. So do you learn that that's purely like a mamonous statement? It's just telling you that your Eved, he is your servant forever. Which means the nature of the Eved is that it's a permanent acquisition. Like, for instance, by an Eved Ivri, so the acquisition is a 6-year acquisition. Or until Yovel acquisition, it's a temporary acquisition. The nature of the Kenyan is a Kenyan of the short term. When you buy certain fields in Eretz Yisrael, it's a short term Kenyan. So here, la'olam tavodu, the nature of the Kenyan, this is so pshat in the pasuk, it's describing for you the nature of the Kenyan is it's a permanent Kenyan. La'olam tavodu, and you bequeath it to your children after you. The nature of this Kenyan is a Kenyan of la'olam. But it's a Kenyan. So the nature of the Kenyan is a Kenyan of la'olam. But of course, you could get rid of the Kenyan. Of course, like if I buy a car, so I own it forever. But I could sell it, then I'm basically giving away the Kenyan. But notice the nature of the Kenyan is not a temporary, it's not a rental. It's not a short-term acquiring for 6 years. It's a permanent. Olam Hem Tavod, he works you forever. So describing to you the nature of the phenomenon of the Eved, nature of the Avdus. Okay, and it's giving you a chiddush that you could do that even by the son, the father, the mother is from Kanani, whatever. But essentially, Olam Hem Tavod is a description of the Dine Mominus of the Eved. That it's a permanent reality. It's a permanent situation. But it's Rishos. Of course it's Rishos. Just like I said, you own a car forever. You don't have to own it forever. You could own it forever. Describing the nature of Rishos, the framework of dinim amonos is a framework of Rishos. There's no rules. You do whatever you want. It's just saying this is the nature of what does it mean to be an Eved, a Himani, Olam Tavodu. Or do you say Olam Tavodu is a statement in the framework of Isra Heter of an Eved, Kanani, as well. That there's built into the din Eved is that he has a status of Lolobam Tavodu. Eved, part of the shame of an Eved Kanani is that there's a mitzvah of Lolobam Tavodu, which means essentially there's an Isser of Ringen. It's like it built into the Chalo Shem Eved Kanani is this halacha. It's not just the statement of the nature of the din of Amonis of the thing, but it's one of the halachos. What's the halachos about an Eved Kanani? Isser Heter of an Eved Kanani. Well, he's tried to do these mitzvos, you're not allowed to beat him, you're this, you're not allowed to free him. It's like there's a whole series of mitzvos which apply to an Eved Kanani. And the halacha l'olam tavodu is not just a statement about the dinim onus of an Eved Kanani, but it's a statement about Isser Heter of an Eved Kanani. There's an Isser of a mitzvah of l'olam tavodu, which means an Isser asay of freeing them. Part of the halacha of mitzvah. Now, why? I don't know, whatever reason why. Because it's good for him, because of Hashem, because of whatever, I don't know, whatever it is. We don't know. We don't know about that yet. But the idea of Chova means that that avdus is only it's possible because an eved is not merely a denim ominous phenomenon. Like, it wouldn't really make sense to say you have to own your car forever. You're not allowed to sell your car. Like, what does that mean? I'm not allowed to sell my car. It's my property. Property, it's like the definition of property is, like, do what I want with it. It's like, it wouldn't really make sense to have a mitzvah. I can't sell my car. Like, I mean, you could, I don't know, I can say whatever you want, but this wouldn't be consistent with the nature of what ownership is. But here it's because Eved exists in another framework in terms of Eser Ahadar. So as we're saying, the element of Avodu is a statement about that Eser Ahadar. Vizi the Chal Hashem Eved, part of the Chal Hashem Eved, brings with it an Eser of freeing and a mitzvah of Olam Tavodu. Part of that's built into the institution of Ekanani. Okay, whereas the other Shita, no, it's nothing to do with it. Olam Tavodu is just telling you the nature of the institution, and the financial institution is one, which is Olam. But where the Eser Ahadar doesn't say anything about that. You want to free him, fine. You don't free him, also fine. Whatever it is. Okay, now why they say that or whatever, I don't know. You know, I'm just defining what's going on here, what the argument is, you know. Just descriptively, so to speak, if you wanted to study El Chazavadim, you can imagine dividing it into two bucks. There's the legal court, you know, monetary, the monetary laws of slaves, and then there's the mitzvah isaratar book of slaves. And there's two books, two things I have to study. Now this pasuk, which says "Lolamam ta'avodu," which book does it belong in? It definitely is about in the law, the book of Dinim Amanus, the monetary laws. That's for sure. Everyone agrees with that. That an Eved Kanani is a permanent acquisition; you pass them down to your kids. Definitely, is that's the case. And in that framework, of course, I could sell it to somebody else, and it'll be some of their kids. But is it saying a statement about Isra Hatar? Does it belong in the other book? Is that saying a mitzvah saseh? L'olamam ta'avodu. Isra Hatar v'avadim, part of the Isra Hatar v'avadim is that l'olamam ta'avodu. You should work him forever. Why? Whatever. We're not ready for that. I don't know. I don't know if we ever have to answer why. I'm just defining the question. That's the chiddush of Chovah, is that l'olamam ta'avodu is not merely a description. If you look at the psukim, you think it does mean that. You never guess this. The psukim is saying, like, it's just describing for you. You know, you give them to your kids. You have to give them to your kids. It's not saying you have to keep him. If you want, you can free him. Of course, he's property. Just telling you the nature of the acquisition. It's permanent. But the chiddush is, no, this is a statement about the so we have to open it. Okay? Okay, so what I'd like to start tomorrow is this thing about the further up on the page. It's basically about the halacha of you're allowed to free him for a mitzvah. And I wanted to get going with the Rishonim. So I want to start with the Ramban. Okay, the Ramban gives an explanation. He gives two answers about why you're allowed to free him. Ramban, Chiddush Ramban, Al Shas. Okay, why you're allowed to free him for a mitzvah? That's a big question. Because now it's a real mitzvah. Ban was wheeled as a mitzvah. But somehow you can free him for a mitzvah for a minion or for whatever. You can't just violate Yisurim because of a minion. So for somehow this one you could. So that's the Rishonim deal with. And the Ramban has two answers. So I'm going to get into those.